And we're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the only motorcycle road racing podcast that cares about you as a unique individual. He's Ed Sorbo. You can find him on the web at le-suspension.com.
He'll... This is show number 77, Mom, and I'm all out of cookies.
Is it 77?
And 77.
And you ate all the cookies? Good on you.
I ate all the cookies.
Absolutely good on you, man. Life is short. Have a cookie. Right?
There you go.
That's what I'm saying. I'm Michael Gugis. You can find me on the web at motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com and find me at a track in Southern California near you. Good luck.
I think you just did something unique.
I'm ready.
You repeated a lead-in.
That's a possibility. I think, you know what? I was wondering about that.
The thing about you treating you as a unique person before.
And Ed, don't you love the fact that I use the unique individual twice?
Yes, that is. I love the fact that you recognize the funny in that, although you didn't plan it that way.
There's always funny to be had. There's almost.
Hey, do you make life for your coffee like a man should?
Do I make?
I'm sorry. Do you make coffee for your wife like a man should?
Absolutely. First person up makes the coffee.
You know, in the Bible it says that the man should make the coffee for the wife.
Oh no!
I don't. Says that?
I don't know where this is going.
It says that Hebrew.
Oh.
But okay. Hey, let's talk about our friend
What? I'm sorry. What do you want to talk about?
Nikki Hayden. I'm at roadracingworld.com right now, and I'm looking at the results, and it says, one, Nikki Hayden, USA, Honda, 15 laps.
First win since 2006.
First win in World Superbike.
First win for a U.S. rider in World Superbike or any North American rider since Ben Spies in Portimao in 2009. And
how long since Honda has won a Superbike race?
Almost 2 years. That's the other part I was getting to. It's been almost 2 years, which I think tells you something about how good Jonathan Rea really was or really is, you know? Because, I mean, he got off the Honda and suddenly it was nowhere. It was nowhere. You know, I think he carried that bike and that brand for a long time, you know?
Well, Rea is on a Kawasaki now, right?
Correct.
And he has 257 points in the championship.
He's killing it.
I think he's 115. So that's a significant difference. Yeah, Rea is riding really well, and he's riding on probably the bike to beat this year.
One of them.
But, you know, right, it was raining. It was all about rider skill.
Exactly.
Nikki has to bring trucks to the racetrack with him to carry all of his skill sets, right? And so when you put a little water on the track and you change that horsepower advantage into, at best, an equal, then Nikki comes to the front.
You've raced a lot in the rain. You're an experienced guy. One of the things that Nikki said was that he was watching all the other riders on Friday during the in the other classes because it was wet, and then he went and started asking people, "What's the grip level like?" And it's interesting because this is leading to a question I want to ask you. One of the things that they said was that Sepang is remarkably grippy when it's soaking wet. And the track dries and drains really quickly, so you know, the lap times are really quick in the wet. Have you been? Can you name a track where, like, you know, it gets wet and you just don't slow down that much?
Well, the don't slow down that much is relative.
Of course.
I mean, it's still significantly slower than in the bright sunshine at a hot track and all. But
right.
The big thing for regular folks is to find an opportunity to ride in a totally soaked condition, so preferably it's still actually raining.
Right.
So the track stays wet on full wets. on real rain tires. That's the, oh my God, super cool, I can't believe I'm doing this thing that you want to do. Because the amount of grip that those things offer in those conditions is just mind-blowing.
It's phenomenal.
What you want to avoid is anything that involves even the smallest amount of water on DOT tires. You know, that's not true, right? The smallest amount of water doesn't matter. But once the track has got, you know, it's mostly wet and maybe the dry areas are just damp, you know, that's just no fun on the DOT tire at all, right?
Yeah.
Because those tires can't get hot enough. And, of course, if you run full wets, well, you just kill them really quickly because the rubber is so soft.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you want to ride in pouring down conditions on full rains. I raced in a freaking typhoon at Suzuka. And any track that has volcanic rocks around where they make the asphalt with a lot of basalt and such. So the folks in Japan, they say Suzuka has a very high mu content. I don't know if mu is a Japanese word or some paving word, but it means there's a lot of grip. It's very abrasive. And then that gives good grip when it's raining. And then if the track drains so you don't get lakes, then you're good, right? And track drainage is a design feature. You can make any track drain.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
At Suzuka in the Dunlop Curve, there are three rivers that flow across the track.
Oh,
so you cross them at 90 degrees when the rain's just pouring down. So the whole track is like, I don't know, a quarter inch of water. No. But the whole track is a millimeter of water. And then these three rivers, and you can see the ripples, the little waves coming across as they flow across the track. Those are maybe 3 millimeters of water, right? And so you're dragging your knee. I was on a 400 Honda in line four. You drag your knee, and you get to the river, and the river's maybe 10 yards across. And you just kind of keep your body down there and pick the bike up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And just stay on the gas the same as you were before.
Right.
And you go across it, and now you're just a little bit wider because you did that, right? Then you lean it back, and then you straighten it up to the second river, and you lean it back, and you straighten up to it. And you don't slow down at all. You're just like 6 inches wider than you would have been in the dry. And part of your brain's going, fuck, you're going to die, you know? And part of your brain's going, go, dog! you definitely want to experience that. And most of us, right, we have experience with, like, a passing shower and we slow on our DOT tires or a slick shit cool down. And that's just no fun at all.
Right. No, it was... Yeah. It was, you know, I was watching.
How did this happen? They didn't have rain all week. They had sunshine on Saturday.
Yeah, rain on Friday.
What was the lead up? Did they get to practice in the rain?
Nope. Rain on Friday. So there was a little bit of practice, on Friday in the rain. World Super Sport, I think, was in the wet. Saturday was completely dry. And Hayden was nowhere. He was 25 seconds back from the leader. Just gone. And it was funny because this was actually sort of amusing. Tom Sykes.
It's just Michael having a brain fart.
Believe me, I'm happy to be as well as I am. Tom Sykes has a reputation for going out real fast, beginning of races, wrecking his tires. Last year at Sepang, his last lap in the dry was 8 seconds slower than his fastest lap. His tires were just gone, right? So, he goes out and the first race, it's all dry. He starts booking. He's putting 3/4 of a second a lap on everybody. And everybody's just sitting back going, all right, no problem. We'll just wait for this guy to wreck his tires. Around lap 12, they realized he's not slowing down. It was really good. It was really good for Tom. So that was pretty cool. But nothing was as good as watching Nikki. Dude, I had to... he had a 4 second.
So back up to the window. So they rolled up to the line, and then it started raining. And they switched to rain tires on the grid.
Oh no! It was soaking all day on Sunday.
They practiced on Sunday morning in the rain.
Yeah, they actually.
Okay.
I think I'm trying to figure that out. They actually. I know they actually had to cancel. I'm looking at the warm-up times right now. They actually had to cancel the World Super Sport race. No, looks like the morning warm-up on Sunday was actually in the dry.
That's what I would suspect, because yeah. In Malaysia, right, you get the super hot temperatures and you get the afternoon thunderstorms.
Uh-huh. They had to...
So the other factor in all of this, and, you know, Nicky made the win, and that's all great, but he's not in contention for the championship.
Right.
And the guys that, you know, are battling for the championship, they're thinking that way. When it's raining like this, right, you're the championship leader.
That's...
You take a podium finish and be happy with it, and you don't take a big risk. Whereas if you're down in fifth in the championship, you take a little more risks and you get the win. That being said, this is going to jazz the team up. This is going to be, you know, useful and good, and then we're all hoping new bike next year, right?
That's the idea. That's the idea. And that's exactly what Nicky said. Nicky said, you know, I saw it come down. He's like, I can take more risks than those other guys. And he did everything. He did everything to shove that bike to the front on the first lap because he says he can't see. And, you know, he said, I wanted a clear track.
Isn't that funny how, like, oh, man, you used all this skill and blah, blah, blah. No, dude, I just couldn't see, so I had to get to the front.
I couldn't see Jack. Well, he remembered what it was like in Assen just a couple of rounds ago where, you know, they were racing in a pack in the rain. He's like, this is ridiculous. You know, but I'll tell you two things real quick. The World Super Sport race was they got through the warm up lap and then they red flagged it because there were lightning strikes in the infield. That's spooky, right? But when
it's like VIR.
Yeah, right. But when they got it back underway, those guys on those 600s on full reins. Just watching them go through the big downhill sweeper there. I mean, knee on the deck, just throttle. They were flying. Just flying. And it's, you know.
That's what I'm talking about. You got to ride in full-on rain on rain tires.
It was.
You can brake just as hard on the straightaways on rain tires as you can on slicks in the sunshine.
It was amazing. It was just amazing.
And you can corner just as fast. And you can accelerate just as fast. The only thing you can't do is you can't keep the brakes on hard into the corner. You can't get on the gas hard when you're already in the corner. You'll still lean over.
Right.
You have to separate out, right? But so you'll still see they look like they're driving in the dry when they're in the middle of the corner with their knee on the ground. Now, it's not exactly the same speed and not totally as fast.
Right.
But it's really impressive.
It is. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say was I was... You know, I've been a Nicky Hayden fan for a long time and know the guy, you know, love his hair, right? And so when I'm watching Giuliano, Davide Giuliano, start to close in on him, I couldn't take the tension. I confess, I fast-forwarded through. Like, just click on it, click on every lap and check the gap. click on every lap and check the gap. And Nicky said he was managing the gap. But if you watch the race and you watch the stuff Parc Fermé, you know, after he pulls in there, he jumps off the bike, pulls off his helmet, big hug to the team, right? And then he walks back over to the bike and he looks at the left side of the front tire. And apparently that was gone. You know, it was like, it was close. It was really, it was a lot closer and a lot harder than it looked. So lots
of... Yeah, if you run a rain tire down... Right? It's not just that it doesn't have rubber anymore. It doesn't have grooves anymore.
That's
a problem.
It's just, yeah. It was raw skill. Way cool. Awesome. America, fuck yeah. Thank you, Trey Parker. What was I going to say? Speaking of America and talent, I wanted to mention this. We got some Europeans riding in Moto America this year. Tony Elias, Claudio Corti, we haven't looked real good against those guys, Ed.
They're racing us on our home turf. Tony is learning all the track.
Right? And he's won three races?
Yeah, he's doing good. You know, speaking of Moto America, BN Sports, the TV coverage.
Right.
They must have really upped their programming just recently because I'm seeing all kinds of clips that people are posting on Facebook of themselves, like, you know, hey, check me out, you know.
I'm on TV, Mom.
So they seem to be doing a good job of you know, covering down the field more, which is something we've talked about.
It's funny. They got, I don't know if they intended to do this. I really don't. You know, they just kind of wound up as the motorcycle road racing channel, you know, but the guy who's there at BN, he met with the teams a couple of weeks ago at Moto America, and he basically told him, I'd never heard of you guys until 2 months ago. He said, basically, this came across my desk and I have to do this. He says, now that I know who you are, this is amazing, and I want to make this work. So you got
it. Well, that's excellent, right? I mean, we've all known all along that it's a compelling story, and it's great to watch. And right. You don't even have to be, you know, a motorcycle gearhead to enjoy seeing the story.
Right.
And right, these guys know the tools and how to show the story that's already being told. And yeah, this could be a great thing for all of us.
Yeah, I absolutely, you know, and I think it's kind of cool if somebody's coming at it with a fresh eye and going, you know what, I can make this work, you know. And so far the racing's been really good this year. There's been a lot of different winners, very interesting battles all the way through, you know. I still love the Super Stock. I'm so glad they got that class back, you know. And it's all looking really good. And the fact that it's available and that we can watch it is just a huge deal. That's just a huge deal.
That is big. How are we on time?
16:43. We got time.
Earlier, a few posts ago, at the beginning of the MotoGP season, we talked about something that I saw new on TV, the mechanics for spinning the rear wheel when the bike was running.
Yes.
And then putting the bike in gear.
Yes.
So I've been paying attention, and when the riders go to get on the bike after the bike's been started and the wheels are on the ground,
uh-huh.
They're clicking it into gear just like normal. The guys are not pushing them, and then so I got nothing about why they were doing that. Maybe there is some tiny bit of wear that they're, you know, the riders put it in the gear and there's nothing we can do about it, right?
Right.
Or maybe the guys are like, hey, the next time the camera's watching you, do something extra, like spin the tire before you put it in gear.
Just you know? Do something different.
And it might have just been, you know, one or two guys, just it's their habit. Because, I mean, when you do put the bike into gear, when you have a fast idle, and you know, the chain jumps around and the
right.
Transmission makes a horrible clacking noise.
Yeah.
It doesn't really hurt anything, but a gearhead guy might be like, oh.
Exactly.
And might just be doing it for that purpose.
It would just offend their mechanical sensibilities.
I totally
get that. And you know what? Honestly, I still think you were right on that, at least partly, because, you know, knowing that Honda and now Yamaha and now probably Suzuki are taking that transmission out of the engine every night, you know, handcuffing it to a, you know, in a briefcase and locking it to somebody's wrist and taking it into a secret room where it's rebuilt every night. Maybe, you know, who knows?
If the things are that delicate, then yeah, every little bit helps.
Right?
Hey, speaking of Honda, how about Dana Pedrosa?
Danny, God, you know what? He's a company man. That's all you really need to say. You know what I mean?
You know, it was an interesting maybe conversation, right?
Because right.
If so-and-so didn't move to whichever team, and if, right?
Right.
If you just looked at Danny on the R1... he would probably do really well in that bike.
The Yamaha, the M1?
Right.
Yeah.
The M1, sorry. Right?
Yeah, but then...
And so if you left everything all out, right, he's more of a smoother rider than Marquez is, the Yamaha is more smooth, touch-style bike, et cetera, et cetera. It would make sense, but that's to ignore the long history he's had with Honda and, you know, the success that he's had with them.
Exactly.
And then, of course, one thing that we don't think about much is what are these guys going to do when they're done
racing?
Thank right? Besides be bored out of their minds and freaking out for two seasons trying to get their life, you know, find something to do, right?
Right.
And one of the things that you can do is you can continue to work with the company that you have a great relationship with in any number of ways, from promotion to running a team, blah, 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 blah. And if you're a guy who jumps ship a lot, well, then those opportunities are not going to be there as much.
Exactly. Honda is going to find a place for Danny. And it's really kind of nice in this incredibly cutthroat sport to see a company go, you know what, this guy has been a good employee, we're going to keep him. That's
and to see a guy be a good employee and stick with his employer.
Yeah, exactly.
It goes both ways.
It really did. It's funny to compare this to the world of Formula One right now. Red Bull has a main team and a junior team, and they just swap.
Yeah, what just happened? I saw something on Facebook, like it looked like some guy was finding out in the media thing that somebody else was on the team.
Yeah, well, no, they swap drivers between the junior team and the senior team. They swapped and didn't tell the guy who was on the senior team. He was at home watching Game of Thrones, and he got a phone call. And it's like, hey, guess what? You're on the B team now. See ya. You know, it's like, whoa. And that's pretty, like I said, that's pretty cutthroat stuff, you know?
I would have to say that rather than cutthroat, that's just more like a fuck-up. Why would anybody do, how could you not tell your driver or your rider or your girlfriend that you're breaking up with her, right? I mean, that's just ridiculous.
It is, it seemed a little silly. It really did seem a little silly to do it midway through the season. But it was sort of interesting. If you will, the guy in question, the guy that got promoted, was kind of like Maverick Vinales or Alex Rins. And he's on the junior team, and Red Bull was thinking, if we don't give him the big boy ride, somebody else is going to grab him. You know?
Well, I'm not saying that there are plenty of reasons to rearrange your drivers and your riders and whatever.
Right.
I'm just saying the part about, you know, not telling the person, you don't deliberately do that.
Yeah.
You have some kind of screw up that leads to that happening.
I
is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you mean.
Right?
Yeah.
No, I thought you told them. No, I thought you told them.
Right?
Yeah, right? I all sucked.
Right?
You know, they have some big soccer match that's going on in England right now or somewhere in Europe.
Okay.
And they had to postpone the game because there was an explosive device that the dogs discovered when they were checking the stadium.
Okay.
It was a forgotten test explosive device that was used in training. Like the people that went there and did the training part fucking forgot their fake bomb. And the bomb apparently has explosives in it or something because the dogs smelled it.
Right.
Even though it doesn't have the trigger. And when they look at it, it looks so real. They actually sent everybody home. And put the thing in the parking lot and blew it up. Right? So if somebody can screw that up, somebody can forget to call their driver, I suppose.
Somebody got yelled at when that happened.
Think about that. It's just like going to a motorcycle race. You don't just go have the cost of the ticket. You got your hotel room and your travel and your plans and your day off from work. And now, oh, sorry, it's going to be on Wednesday because some idiot left a fake bomb in the place. Come on.
A fake bomb in the place. That's awesome. I will...
I'm sorry. I forgot to bring the timing and scoring system. We're not going to have the race.
Oh, God. Have we talked about the Grand Nationals where Wira forgot to bring the fuel testing thing?
No, I haven't heard that story.
Oh, it was great. God, it was Vic Fasola who said... he sent his rider up to Wira and said... Hey, can you test this fuel sample? And this is back when they were running like turbos and crazy shit like that. And there was like, we have no way of testing it. So they started pouring, not lacquer thinner, but some other really crazy crap that you can buy at like the hardware store. I forget what it was, but Vic Fasola had the great quote. He said, We started tipping the minute we found out they weren't going to be able to test the fuel sample, we started tipping the bottle, but we didn't tip it enough Turns out we undercheated, and that one of my favorite phrases of all time. I want to wrap up this thing about Danny real quick by pointing out that for years people have complained he has an unfair advantage because he's so small. And I, right?
You know, I've heard a lot of stupid things, but that's right up there.
That, oh my God.
I mean, whether he has an advantage or not, how is it unfair?
Right? Right? Exactly. Oh, look at you. You're only 5'4". How lucky. What? Right? But I think some people are finally starting to understand how amazing it is that he can wrestle a MotoGP bike around for 40 minutes at a crack, you know, being as small as he is.
It's not how strong you are that makes riding the motorcycle. That's as ridiculous as he has an unfair advantage. He is moving less mass left and right than a bigger rider is.
Yes,
so,
that's all
you
true.
Know, it's not about how hard, strong you are. It is an endurance thing.
That's
but
the point.
Guys, but endurance, humans can have endurance to run marathons and more. These guys are performing at a high level, but it's only 45 minutes. It's not serious endurance.
Well, I'll leave it with a quote from Casey Stoner, who was one of the guys who watched Danny at testing one year and just said, looked at his crew chief and said, "I have no idea how Danny is doing that. I have no idea how he's doing."
He could have been talking about anything.
No,
assuming that he means strength or something, right? Usually, when a rider says something like that, they mean, how did he use that line? I can't make that work.
Maybe it's because Danny's so small. He can fit into the line because he's so tiny. Ed, 2 minutes.
Two-minute board.
We went way long. What do you got for the 2-minute board?
I got an In-Out Burger commercial. Now, for those of you who don't live in Southern California, In-Out Burger is a place that mostly just does drive-through. At least that's their original thing.
Hold on just a second. This is not another Hebrew joke.
No. and they use real ingredients, and like they even have a French fry maker where you can watch them through the window. They put the French fry, the potato, and then you pull down the arm and shoot, it turns into French fries. So it's like fresh fast food. It's really good. If you come to visit, you owe it to yourselves to have an In-Out Burger hamburger. But they have a radio commercial going on right now.
Okay.
And in the commercial, they have a person, many people talking about how good the food is. And one of them says, like, they make the French fries fresh right in front of your face, blah, blah, blah. And they have a lady that says, I don't know what's in it, but it must be pieces of heaven. Now, this is my 2-minute board. I don't know what it is, therefore God. Okay? I don't know what it is. I don't know why my bike is running wide. I don't know what the problem is. Simply means we don't know.
Right.
And then we can use science to try to figure it out. But jumping to some conclusion based on I don't know is what causes you to be stuck at whatever your lap time is.
It's what causes you to chuck virgins into a volcano.
Well, if you can find any virgins anymore, then you're also going to need an active volcano, which means you're going to have to go to Hawaii. And that amount of money, you could have gone to 2 track days.
He's Ed Sorbo. And I'm Michael Gugis.
Aloha.
Aloha.